All right. Love that music. Thank you so much, Janine and friends. I appreciate you. We've got a couple of winners from last week to get a coin from Israel. And kids, if you want to try to get one next week, you can come up here and get one of the handouts and fill it out and follow along. Alyssa Gregory and, let's see, Braden King. So if they're here, awesome. If they're not, we'll get them to them later. All right, kids, come on up and take a look at and grab yourself. I know a lot of our kids and families are at the festivities. Come on up, kids, come on up. The last few Sabbath, or this Sabbath for the graduation, and this was some of the graduating kids from our church this last week here. We have our eighth graders and our kindergartners, and so if you see them, just give them a big hug and let them know that that we love them, and congratulations, kids. I know that most of them had a great time. I know Rocky down here at the corner, he is just stacked with all kinds of things there and is having a great time. I didn't realize graduation could be so lucrative. So it's a great thing. So anyway, just give our kids a big hug and a pat on the back. They work hard, and again, these are our eighth graders and kindergartners from RVAA. And as you see, tomorrow our kids will be graduating, so they can be there for the senior graduation. That would be great. So this Sabbath, I'm talking about titling my sermon Long Suffering. And the reason I'm titling this sermon Long Suffering is because we are talking about the story of Joseph here. And it's very interesting. In Galatians 5:22, it said the fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace. And what's the next one? Long suffering. It's in the top four. You really understand love, joy, and peace. You get that. You know, I mean, that's something that we all, yes, we all want love and joy and peace in our life. But then it gets then the fruits of the Spirit start to meddle a little bit. You mean I've got to be long-suffering. I've got to suffer long. I've got to put up with things that I don't like. I've got to do things in my life that I might not want to do. And see, what we see in the Old Testament here, especially in these stories. Now, frankly, folks, I just want to let you know what the Old Testament does. The Old Testament gives us spiritual principles through story. Amen? Because you're dealing with an oral culture primarily back then. Yes, they wrote the scripture down. Yes, Moses wrote the first five books of Moses. Yes, the prophets wrote their books. But primarily how the principles of God were given to the people who did not have a Bible in their hands. They did not have the scrolls and the scripture in their hands. Were through memorization, number one, but also through stories. And this is why you find so many stories in the Old Testament, this true history of God leading his people, because it illustrates how we, by his grace, can live in the present, because he has been with these people in the past. So, the Lord was with Joseph. Now, you guys, the thing is with this Joseph story, there aren't really any cliffhangers in it, and as we go through it, you guys have heard this story over and over and over again. Amen? I remember as a little kid, it was one of my favorite stories. I was going to get a coat of many colors. There was two guys, Joseph and Daniel. You know, and again, God has led us. Now, my wife is the one who picks out my coats of many colors. So If you see a suit up here that's, you know, looking a little more flashy, that you can thank her because she keeps me going. But Joseph, he was a good man. God led in his life through really, really difficult times. And he was a person, again, who, even though he was in this slave situation in Potiphar's house, he lived with integrity. He didn't yield to temptation. Now, that's the key thing, and I want to remind you that this is the book of Genesis. The book of Genesis begins with what two people? Adam and Eve. And they had a garden to live in. And God told them, everything in this garden is under your care and your hand, and you're to rule over it, and you're to do everything and you take care of it, except for what? One tree. One tree. Did they pass that test? No, that's why we're here today. Joseph is a slave in Potiphar's house. Potiphar has put everything under his care, except one thing, his wife. Did Joseph, at the end of the book of Genesis, pass that test? Yes. Yes. You see, folks, the message there is that we are not in a hopeless situation. With the Lord, we can overcome the temptations that even our very mother and father, the one who started it all, Adam and Eve failed. God can lead us and strengthen us to overcome those temptations that beset us and befall us. And Joseph did not yield. He did the right thing. He told the truth. He was falsely accused. And where did he end up? Prison. So not every, and again, this is a story that we need to understand. When you hold up the truth, when you have integrity in your life, when you follow the Lord closely, because of that, it can end you up in a bad spot. You can end up in a bad spot. Amen? But you're not going to stay in the bad spot. That's the lesson here, folks. And that's where long suffering comes in. So many times we as Christians, and we live in the microwave society that we've built. We're affected by the culture that we are just the atmosphere that we breathe every day. Our culture, I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I will get on Amazon.com or BestBuy.com or some kind of place looking for something that I need, or get on Walmart.com, and I'll be looking through the different products. And if I can't get it tomorrow, I think I just might not order it. What's the use? Have you ever not ordered something because it was going to be a week? Yeah. We've all been there. Now, when I was a kid, we had something called the Sears catalog. You guys remember that? If you got that stuff in a month, you were doing well. You'd have to write out an order and put a check in there, and it'd have to go, you know, to Chicago, to the Sears Tower, or wherever it went, and they'd have to open it up, and they'd have to make sure the check was, you know, good, and it cashed, and they got the money through. Then they'd have to get that. My goodness, I'd get pick something out for my 10th birthday, and I was a teenager before I got it. You know, and we live in a society right now that is 100% instant. We want it right now. In fact, and we're all victims of this. We all live this. In fact, we've got all of these AI data centers that they're making just to make sure that you get an instant answer on how to cook macaroni. We live in a weird world. And what I mean by a weird world, this is not normal from what the rest of the history of the world has been about. Amen? And don't get me wrong, I like that. In a lot of ways, I like that. But it breeds in us, it trains us to be impatient in our lives and impatient with God. Because the fact is, folks, God's time schedule and our time schedule don't always align. And I guarantee you, when Joseph's in prison, he is praying for deliverance. He is praying to God, please get me out of here. And if we live in this mentality that we have today that everything has to come instantly, and we pray and we go to the front door and it's not there or the answer is not immediate, we lose heart. And that is not the message of the Bible. The message of the Bible is long suffering in certain situations. And so let's get back to the story of Joseph here as we look at this story. Genesis chapter 39, verse 20. When Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison. Now, this is the thing that we have to remember as Christians. Verse 21 and this next phrase, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy. Where's Joseph? Prison. Now, my thought, if I'm Joseph and I'm in that situation, my thought and my prayer would be, dear Lord, get me out of here now. And so I would think that the answer to get me out of here now, please, Lord, get me out of this situation, would be an immediate release. But God was with Joseph and showed him mercy in the situation he was living in at that point in his life. And brothers and sisters, what we need to remember is that, again, our timeline and God's timeline aren't necessarily the same. And he may have a greater purpose for you being in the situation that you're uncomfortable with and then bring you through that situation for his glory and for your betterment. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did, there it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with them, and whatever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Brothers and sisters, we can be in terrible situations in your life, in our lives, and God can still make us prosper. That's the beauty of it. You see, this is about being right with God and having the Lord with us inside and not necessarily on the outside. Our situation may not be the greatest, but we can still be with the Lord, and the Lord can be with us no matter where we are. And this is the beauty of the book this story of Joseph in the book of Genesis. Again, the book of Genesis, this is the beginning. These are the foundational truths that God wants you to understand. It begins with the fall, and it ends with this story of Joseph being in prison and being in the worst position he could imagine himself being in, and then being lifted up out of that prison and becoming the second ruler in the kingdom. That's the beauty of the story of Joseph. God creates miracles in difficult situations. The Lord was with Joseph. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you here today, no matter what your situation is today, whether you're in a high spot in your life or whether you're in a low spot in your life, your circumstances did not determine whether the Lord is with you or not. God is with you if you put your faith in him. And that's it. That's it. Ephesians chapter 6. Now, Ephesians is a prison letter. So everything we hear in Ephesians from the Apostle Paul, he's writing from what situation? He's in prison. So Joseph's in prison. The Apostle Paul's in prison. So they've got kind of a kinship, and they've got an interesting, and if you listen to what Paul says, it is very similar, I think, to what Joseph was going through. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God. When you're sitting at home watching TV, you need the armor of God on. When you're at work, you need the armor of God on. When you're out eating, you need the armor of God on. When you're going to sleep, you need the armor of God on. When you're in prison, you really need the armor of God on. Amen? And so we have to realize that the temptation for us as Christians is when things get difficult, we pull away from God because we think, oh my goodness, he's not blessing me. No, 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 no. It's time to get closer to the Lord. It's time to put on that armor tighter. It's time to cinch it up and make sure it's on good and tight. Put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, according to the Apostle Paul, who rules this age? The devil. So the fact that you, as a Christian, a follower of the Lord, have ease in your life is a miracle of God. Amen? Because the ruler of this world would not have you living a good life. Let me just put it that way, okay? He'd have you down in prison. He'd have you in chains. He'd have you dead. Because that's the rule that he has. He doesn't like it when people don't follow him. Amen? Satan wants worship. He wants to take the position of God. He wants to run this world. And by the way, folks, there is plenty of evidence in this world that the devil is in charge. Amen? But there's also great evidence that God is working as well. And we are that evidence. Against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil, and having done all, to stand. That's what God calls us to do. Just stand. Stand up for him. Stand up for the right. Stand up for the truth. Stand against temptation. Stand against the currents of this world. Sometimes, folks, it feels like we're swimming upstream, doesn't it? Always the culture, the world, the devil, he's always trying to get you to go one way, and we're swimming upstream. Well, good. We need to be a little uncomfortable in this world. Amen? Just a little. I'm not talking about we have to be obnoxious and angry and all this kind of thing. Be joyful in the struggle, because we are swimming upstream against the culture of this world. Verse 40, chapter 40. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, and the king offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Joseph was angry with his, and the Pharaoh, the Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in, I'm not sure what they did. You know, the chief butler, now he was the one who served the wine. We'll find that out later. Chief baker, maybe he made something. I bet I know what he put onions in his food. That's what it was. I've always wondered about that. It's in the Hebrew. It's in the Hebrew, folks. Just trust me on that. Chief baker put some onions in there, you know. I don't know. That's the devil's food. And that's not true. It's the devil's weed. That's what I call it. So, by the way, I don't like onions, folks. So I'll just give you, if you're new here today, it's a running thing. So he put them in custody of the house of the captain of the guard in prison, the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them so that they were in custody for a while. Now, by the way, folks, I just want to stop right here. And just, again, this idea of long-suffering. Joseph, how old was Joseph when he was first sold as a slave into Egypt? Does anybody know? 17. That's exactly right. How old was he when he got out of prison? 30? 30. I believe it was 30. If it was 33, I'll look that up. I believe it was 30. How long is that? Too long. Okay? Too long. Long suffering. Long suffering. When the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt who were confined in prison had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, "Why do you look so sad today?" And they said to him, "We each had a dream, and there is no one to interpret it." So Joseph said to them, "Do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please." Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "Behold, my dream was a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded. Its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, 'This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh would lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler.'" Verse 14, "But remember me when it is well with you." Now, if you remember a sermon I did a few weeks ago, that word "remember" means something in that culture. God remembers. God remembers. God remembers. It's covenant language. In other words, you remember, you know, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob makes a promise and he remembers. It's covenant language. And so what Joseph is doing is he's appealing to this man to make a covenant with him. Remember me. Remember me. The thief on the cross. Remember me when it was well with you. And please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, "Also, I also was in my dream." You know, it's funny. The baker was like hanging back. See what the interpretation was before he let him know. "I also was in my dream, and there was three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket, there were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, with no onions in them at all. And the birds ate them out of the basket of my head." So Joseph answered and said, "This is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh would lift up your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you." Those were two different interpretations. Amen? Wow, that would be rough. Now again, that idea, I don't have all day to go into all of these things, but hanging them on a tree. In the culture of the Hebrews, in their culture, and in the law of God, actually, it says, if someone is hung on a tree or hung, they are cursed of God. So he wasn't just saying that hey, listen, it's going to be bad for you. You're going to be executed. You're going to be cursed because of this. "Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not," what? "Remember Joseph, but forgot him." Forgot him. Brothers and sisters, we need to remember those who have gone through tough times with us. And when we've gotten through those tough times, we need to do our best to remember the people that got us through them. Amen? Because this is something that we need to understand as human beings. We're not just put on this earth to just have a relationship with the Lord. Now, that is 100% the most important thing on the planet. Amen? but we are also put on this earth to remember one another and how we've been helped through life by them. Okay? This is something that we need to remember and understand. The Bible is teaching us that there are two relationships that we need to nurture. Love God and love your neighbor. And those two things are the two greatest commandments. And the butler forgot Joseph. He forgot him. Now, we're going to leave you there in the story because we're going to figure out. Now, there's no cliffhangers here, right? You guys know this story. But this is, once again, about the long suffering that we go through in life. And every once in a while, we get discouraged by that long suffering. Now, as soon as that butler, put yourself in Joseph's position here. As soon as that butler gets elevated, the dream comes true, the interpretation comes true, and that butler gets elevated, what do you think Joseph is thinking at that moment? The butler's going to remember me. I'll be out of here soon. He'll get Pharaoh's ear, and he'll tell him about me. And maybe one of these days, who knows? Hey, he might be coming the next day. Pharaoh will believe his butler. He likes his butler. He elevated him. He's got his ear. He's right there. And what happened? The butler forgot. The butler forgot. And Joseph continues his long suffering in prison. Ephesians chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, talking to the Apostle Paul, again, he's in prison. And again, he says he's a prisoner, but a prisoner of who? Why does he phrase it that way? You see, folks, when you're a Christian, if God allows something to happen to you, he's still with you. So, yes, he's a prisoner, but he's a prisoner of the Lord because the Lord is what? With him. Just like Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph in the prison. The Lord with the Apostle Paul in prison as well. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all, and in you all. What's Paul saying here? And what's the story of Joseph telling us? It doesn't matter where we are in life. God is there. He is with us. He is in us. And he is surrounding us and protecting us even in the prisons of life. Because the end of the story hasn't been written. And he's going to set you free soon. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that we have these examples of Joseph, of the Apostle Paul, of those who have suffered long, following you, doing the right thing. And Father, today we thank you that even maybe if we're in a good place or in a bad place in our life, we can be assured that you're with us. Dismiss us now with your blessing and give us your grace in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.